Sports Beat Extra with Odrin Johnson on Beat.
So Arsenal are Premier League champions, and I'm delighted to be joined by Off the Balls Phil Egan to dissect all of the drama from last week's Premier League fixtures and look back on how Arsenal got to this point. Phil, we've spoken about it now, I suppose, 2 weeks in a row, kind of leading up to how dramatic this sort of finale was going to be. It almost seems like it kind of went out on a bit of a whimper with the Manchester City game against Bournemouth. But as we obviously talked about earlier on, how important that game is for Bournemouth, it could have well have easily gone that way, and it did.
Yeah, absolutely. And look how damaging that Erling Haaland goal could be for Bournemouth in terms of playing in the Champions League, because they had put a serious amount of pressure on Liverpool heading into the final day if they were going to beat City 1-0. But that draw just means Liverpool can breathe a lot easier going into that game against Brentford at Anfield. In terms of Arsenal, did the job against Burnley. It wasn't pretty, but 1-0 to the Arsenal. And I'll throw back to the George Graham days. And I think what's most impressive for Arsenal is you think back to the game they lost 2-1 to City at the Etihad. Since that, Arsenal have won all their games, but they haven't conceded a league goal. The only goal they've conceded was a penalty against Atletico Madrid in the first leg of their Champions League semi-finals. So they just locked down basically and said, right, we're going to shut up shop here. Nobody is going to score goals against us. And I think that's the approach they'll use for the Champions League final next weekend as well, which could cap off an unbelievable season. And, you know, if they win the Premier League, Champions League, and we referenced this before in the show, if they see their bitter North London rivals Tottenham get relegated, well, it doesn't get any better for Arsenal.
Yeah, I was going to. It's kind of a weird one now going into this final game of the season, because I was expecting, you know, we were going to get down to this final game. The Palace game was going to be the all important one, that they were going to have to play a full strength squad. But they're actually in the position now where they could arguably rest a few of those players going into this Champions League final against PSG. Do you see them doing that, or do you see them kind of fully embracing this sort of champion status and kind of putting on a really good show for the final game?
Oh, I think there's definitely certain players he has to rest. I'm looking at Saka, who obviously has had injury issues this season. So I don't see the need for playing him, obviously, for the whole game. If he wants to keep certain players on their toes and just keep them within a rhythm of playing matches. But, you know, you can play some of these, leave some of these players on the bench and maybe give them the last half hour. A player like Mikel Merino is somebody that has been out injured, but this could be a chance for him to get a bit of game time. It just means that he'd be an option with 20 minutes to go against PSG, because he obviously gives you that height advantage. And that's one area I feel where Arsenal can hurt PSG, is, and we know how good they are set pieces. And when Marino signed for Arsenal, he referenced how tall the team was. He felt like he was joining a basketball team, such as the height of Mikel Arteta's side. So there is certain players that you would wrap in cotton wool, and then there's other players that would need the game time. But it'll be interesting to see. I think it'll probably go with a bit of a mixture. And it'll be just a great occasion that the Arsenal fans travelling to Selhurst Park, which, again, referencing that win, or that defeat, sorry, to Manchester City, Arsenal never had to leave London after that game. So their fans don't have far to travel to Selhurst Park, and they'll get their trophy. And then it just takes the pressure off that Champions League final. Obviously, there is pressure at the final, but knowing they have the Premier League in the bag now just means they can really attack that Champions League final and have a cut off PSG. As I've said to you before, I would much rather play PSG over one game than two.
I was looking at, I don't know if you've seen the picture, obviously, of the squad that Arteta inherited. I think there's only three players that have survived to this team now that have won the Premier League from when he initially took over the job. What does that say, I suppose, about Arteta as a manager? From your own perspective, because there's one of two ways you can probably interpret it, isn't it? There's one of, like, you know, he cut out a lot of dead weight and he got them onto a really good stable playing ground, and now he's brought them to Premier League glory. And on the other hand, people are kind of saying, well, it took him a long time to do that. He should have done that a lot sooner. How do you, I suppose, assess Arteta this time around? Because I know you mentioned before that, you know, if Arteta obviously won the Premier League and then won the Champions League, he's arguably given Arsenal the best year in their entire history, but if he doesn't, then it's complete bust for him. You know, like, how do you look at this now, I suppose, and look back on that initial squad that he was given?
Well, I think one of the first things he did was he set out to change the culture of Arsenal, and there was just a few bad eggs in that dressing room, and he had to get rid of them. And it's very hard to get rid of them all in one go, so you have to just get rid of them bit by bit, and you get your knockbacks. And every time you get a knockback, and, you know, you think back to when they lost a game against Newcastle, they lost a game against Spurs where they were missing out in Champions League football. And, you know, people would say, you know, is this really going to work? But he always said, you've got to stick with the process and trust the process. And he knew what he was doing. And now, like, you don't ever hear anybody in the Arsenal squad. They finished three seasons in a row, they finished second. But you never heard anything bad coming out of the dressing room in terms of, oh, you know, we're not happy. Like, they all stayed with him. You know, he basically said to them, look, you keep knocking on the door long enough and you're going to get your reward. And they're going to be rewarded on Sunday when they lift the Premier League trophy. And yeah, he just had to get rid of certain players. And now they're very disciplined. They work their backsides off for him. And I suppose the interesting thing would be to see how they take it into next season. Age profile-wise, the squad looks great. And they're very good at tying down their talented players to new contracts. You don't see that with other clubs as such. Well, you think back to last season, Champions Liverpool, they won the league when one of their players was going to leave on a free, Trent Alexander-Arnold. Virgil van Dijk and Mohamed Salah only signed new deals towards the end of the season. Arsenal don't really have any of that stuff hanging over them. They're just very well run. Now, look, they've pumped money into it, but now they will feel they've set themselves up not only to win the title this season, but they're always in the latter stages of the Champions League. They've gone quarter-final, semi-final, now they're final. They would say next season, there's nothing to stop them from going on to win a league again and get to the last few teams in the Champions League as well.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, I suppose, the moment from this season that defines it for them is? Is it a momentary change from themselves, even on the pitch, or a playing tactic, or is it something that completely is outside of their control? I think back to obviously that bit of poor form that City had at the beginning of the season. Like, is that the defining moment that obviously gets them to this point?
Well, the fact that they set off and got themselves the lead, and then people thought after the loss to City, oh, here we go, this is going to be done. But as I said a few minutes ago, the fact that they were able to keep clean sheets, and that's really been the platform for Arsenal's success under Arteta in the last few years. They've got an incredible defence. They don't give you any chances, really. And if you do breach the defence, they've got, at the moment, the best goalkeeper in the Premier League. He's been sensational. I would probably say, if I was to pick Arsenal's player of the season, I would go David Raya. Mm-hmm. Now, people might question that, but they just have a really good collective in terms of they all put it in. You know, they don't have somebody that's scoring 30 goals this season. Gyökeres has finished the season quite well in terms of his physicality. He's probably scored more goals than people would have expected when he started the season. You think back to those games against Manchester United and Liverpool early in the campaign, and he didn't really create any chances, but it is his first season in the Premier League. In terms of Arteta, this is still his first managerial job, so he's done very well to pick himself up, that he's just so driven. It probably rubs some people up the wrong way that he is so animated on the sideline, but one thing he gets is his players are on his side, his fans are on his side, and as I said, there's nothing to suggest that that will change next season. There was a few results, I think, back to like the City game itself. Although they lost, I think they surprised a lot of people that day with how well they played, and let's be honest, they should have come away from that game with something. They hit the post a couple of times. Havertz had that chance at the end. So they were unlucky to lose that game, but there was just certain games where, I remember the Everton game was at the Emirates, was a tricky one, and Max Dowman gets the goal that day to make it 2-0. But because they don't concede goals, they don't lose many games. So I think that's been the basis for their success, and I would imagine that's how they will continue. The only thing is, how do your players react now that they've reached Everest? Can they stay there?
Let's touch on the other end of the table. I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, and we've obviously talked about it last week, but we're now down to the wire. Spurs-Everton on Sunday, and then you've got West Ham-Leeds on Sunday as well, both at the same time. So it really is just, it's a straight shootout, really, isn't it? Like, has your thoughts changed on how you think this will go, I suppose, after the last round of fixtures, or does it remain fairly the same as when we were last talking?
No, I think when I was last talking to you, I felt that West Ham could beat Newcastle, they'd stay up, but they didn't. And they were so bad in the first 20 minutes, and it cost them the game. Mm-hmm. Even though They threatened when it was 2-0, then it went to 3-0. They got back to 3-1. But I just think the most disappointing aspect for West Ham is the manner of the goals they conceded. And again, when they started to creep back up towards the safety mark, their performances were built on defensive solidity, and that's gone now. They're making silly mistakes. They still have a chance, of course they do. Like Spurs have a dreadful home record. They've only won 2 games at home all season, Tottenham. One of them was the first game of the season against Burnley. The other was against Brentford in December. The only thing is, De Zerbi's only been there for 6 games. So I think you have to separate his team and the Thomas Frank team and the brief spell that Igor Tudor had as well. So if you look at the 6 games De Zerbi's been there for, they haven't lost at home. So just stick with that and they stay up. They only need a draw. Everton are in such bad form. Their form deserted them when it mattered the most, because I think back to the Merseyside derby for Everton. The weekend before that, they played Brentford. If they'd beaten Brentford, the way results went, they would have played Liverpool in the derby with a chance to overtake them. They didn't beat Brentford. They end up losing the derby, and they've gone 6 without a win. Last weekend was awful. They lost 3-1 to Sunderland. Seamus Coleman's last home game. He should have got an unbelievable send-off after 17 years with the club. The fans had all left. The stadium was half full, and he deserved better than that. Now, the club probably should have organised something before kickoff. Look, he's an Everton legend, Seamus Coleman. It was just disappointing to see there wasn't enough people there to give him the send-off he deserved. But in terms of going back to the Tottenham-Everton game, I think what's key here is who scores the first goal. If West Ham are going to stay up, if they scored an early goal against Leeds, who have a few injuries, they're more than safe. If West Ham can get an early goal and then that news gets relayed to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, then the tension starts to kick in. And Spurs, just even if they were to score first, they just don't inspire you to see out a game. But I think the fact that they have the buffer of knowing a draw will do means that I would have them, I kind of would say it 70-30 in Tottenham's favour. Whereas obviously, as I expected, they weren't going to beat Chelsea. So that's why I felt if West Ham could have beaten Newcastle and then they go into the final day needing a win against Leeds to stay up, and Spurs would have been out of their hands, I would have favoured West Ham. But I think all the odds are in Tottenham's favour now. But it sets it up for a day of drama, and whatever about title races, relegation battles, like, it's just different level because there's so much at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Title races, you get silverware, obviously you want to be the best team in the league, but it's what happens to you if you get relegated. You look at Tottenham. That game is at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, one of the most unbelievable stadiums in world football. It hosts NFL, it hosts concerts, heavyweight boxing, and if things go badly on Sunday, it could be hosting championship football, and that would just be catastrophic for Spurs in terms of, you know, who stays, how many players do they lose. The worry as well is the team that's finished third and bottom the last couple of seasons has then gone on to get relegated from the championship the following season. So you look at Luton and Leicester.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to take those chances.
Yeah. I do want to ask on one final game as well. The Liverpool-Brentford one is in a position for Brentford to possibly get European football next season, which is obviously, from an Irish perspective, a brilliant achievement. Is that something that you think is going to happen? Do you think Liverpool, do they show up realistically this final game of the season? Because, I suppose, on the pitch-wise, they haven't been particularly fantastic as of late. But, you know, do they close out a game like this when it has so much importance to them?
Yeah, as I said, the Erling Haaland goal was so important for Liverpool, because otherwise they were going into a situation where they would have had to have beaten Brentford to guarantee that they finished in the Champions League places.
Mm-hmm.
And Bournemouth are away to Nottingham Forest, and you know, Forest are at the end. They've stayed up. They had their European run, and Bournemouth still have something to play for. So you would be more favourable towards Bournemouth beating Nottingham Forest in that game, which would then mean that Liverpool would have had to have beaten Brentford. But now a draw is fine for Liverpool, even a defeat. But there is this weird situation where Liverpool were to lose 1-0, and Bournemouth were to win 5-0, Liverpool and Bournemouth are dead level on points, on goal difference. Then they go head to head. They both beat each other this season, and you would have a playoff for that last spot. But you get the situation where if Liverpool win, and Villa, who have just lifted the Europa League and I am sure have been enjoying themselves, are beaten by Manchester City and Pep Guardiola's final game. So City want to go out in the high and win. So if they beat Villa, Liverpool then beat Brentford. Liverpool finish fourth, Villa finish fifth, and sixth place gets Champions League. So Bournemouth could still get Champions League. Brighton aren't out of the picture either. Bournemouth lose to Forest. If Brighton beat United, then Brighton finish sixth. So there is still a few little things, but all those things that I mentioned there, like City beating an Aston Villa team that have just celebrated hard, like that's not out. Like, I mean, I think most people would expect City to win.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool, I don't know how Sunday goes for Liverpool in terms of Mohamed Salah's last game. Does he even play? Andy Robertson's last game. Is this Arne Slot's last game? We don't even know. It's all like the news coming out is, oh no, he's going to get another season. I don't see how he gets another season because they've been absolutely dreadful. There has been certain things that have gone against them, but there's very little to get excited by. And I just think that sometimes the longer a manager's in charge, the more damage that's going to be done. And that's kind of how I feel about Arne Slot at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's not going to come out and say that he thinks he's under pressure or he's going to lose his job. He's bullish and he's talking about next season and going to the transfer window. They need a lot of players to come in. Like, they spent so much money last summer and it really hasn't worked out at all.
Mm.
And they got rid of certain players that just gave them a bit of physicality. So it could be a tough afternoon for Liverpool in terms of just how does it play out? Like, you think back to their last home game, which was against Chelsea, they got booed off.
Yeah.
And it's just so many games where they're so passive. And that is the complete opposite to what the Liverpool fans want. And that's where Mo Salah was going with his social media posts, where Liverpool fans want to be excited. There's nothing really in the last 4 or 5 months to get Liverpool fans excited. They've had a few good results, but playing wise, they've been shocking.
I suppose, despite the fact that the title is all tied up, it's still going to be a very dramatic final day of the Premier League season. One full of just a relegation battle and then battles for Europe as well. So, still worth tuning in for, regardless of whether you're sore about Arsenal winning the league or if you're still parting with Arsenal being now the champions of the Premier League. Phil Egan, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure as always.
Thanks very much, Adam.